Hello, this is Joshua Mack, and we are back. We have been working our way through a book by Jeremiah Burroughs. Actually, usually I put these out on Monday, but yesterday I didn't get to it. I actually had a little bit more of a bluesy day yesterday. I have heard that can be normal for pastors to have the Monday blues, and I haven't really had many of the Monday blues over the years, but for some reason, I was not feeling it yesterday exactly. I woke up maybe a little tired, and our schedule was different than normal. And so, that threw me off for a little while. One nice thing about getting older, though, is realizing that, hey, tomorrow's going to be another day. We're going to get through this, and the Lord grants you more and more self-control, not to allow your feelings to control or dominate your day. And he helped me think about what was real. And here we are. It is another day, and I'm excited to go for it, excited to be looking at Jeremiah Burroughs. It's early today already, and things are going better. I don't know if things are actually going better, but I'm feeling better. And so we are looking at Jeremiah Burroughs. That was probably too much information, but what are you going to do? We're looking at Jeremiah Burroughs and reading his book, A Treatise on Earthly Mindedness. And this book is definitely challenging so far. He's talking about what it means to be earthly minded. And I can imagine hearing some of these things and maybe feeling like it's a little bit hard. But on the other hand, you can be encouraged, because talking about the specifics of your life like this should be a reminder that your life actually does matter to God. You are created by God, and He knows you. It seems almost too great to think. I think in this world right now, people often imagine that God doesn't notice them, but He does. He loves you. He saved you, and He wants you to live for something bigger than what you often are tempted to live for. And we've been saying on Sundays that He wants us to seek the things above, and He wants us to set our minds on the things above, because that's where our life is, because we are united to Christ. And so if we're going to do that, we have to examine what it looks like not to seek the things above, almost as a kind of challenge. Hey, we need to make some changes here. And one of the reasons why I think this is so helpful to do is because we're living in a world where earthly mindedness is just so normal, we might not even notice how earthly minded we are. You can imagine some world where everyone is, I don't know, 400 pounds, and just incredibly obese for one reason or another. And being obese in that kind of environment would seem like, hey, this is just how humans do it. And I think it can be that way when it comes to earthly mindedness. So our world is so earthly minded that we might not notice how earthly minded we are. We're 300 pounds, maybe, you know, not 400 pounds. And so we feel like we're doing fine. And so, yeah, this is challenging. He's giving us 9 characteristics of an earthly minded man. But that challenge is good, because we are loved by God, known by God, saved by God, called by God to something bigger. And we want to see sin for what it is. We don't want to be blind to the ways in which we are not living for God's glory. And so this is a hard, sweet challenge from Jeremiah Burroughs. And we're on characteristic number 9. He says, another note, the 9th particular, which describes an earthly-minded man, is this. An earthly-minded man is one that conceives the most heavenly truths that are revealed in the Word in an earthly way, according to his mind, his genius, and the disposition of his heart. So he is able to take truth, wonderful truth, and turn that truth earthly. The spiritual-minded person can look at earthly things and turn them spiritual. He's looking for spiritual truths and ways in which he can grow in his relationship with God from every situation, every circumstance he finds himself in. But the earthly-minded man does the opposite. He is really blind to spiritual truth. And so it's like he's wearing rose-colored glasses or world-colored glasses. And so when he reads the Bible, he reads the world into there. He says, I truly think this is meant in a special manner in this place for the apostle speaking of those that opposed him in his ministry and that were enemies to the cross of Christ. Now, these mind earthly things. Their mind are of an earthly temper, and therefore it's no wonder they do not savor those heavenly and spiritual truths that we bring to them, for their minds, being earthly, do only apprehend those things after an earthly manner. So sometimes preachers have trouble, teachers have trouble, because they're not good teachers. And so the people listening really can't understand what they're saying correctly because they're just doing a bad job. But sometimes the teacher may be teaching truth, and the people listening are fleshly and thinking in a worldly-minded way or worldly way, and so they're just not able to understand spiritual truths. And he thinks that's what is going on in Philippians. You remember he's expositing this passage in Philippians chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul said, their glory is their shame, their God is their belly, and they set their mind on earthly things. And he says this is really what he thinks is going on here, is that Paul is talking about justification. And this is a spiritual, heavenly truth, the doctrine of reconciliation and of justification by Jesus Christ. So, because it's a heavenly truth, one who is of an earthly disposition, though he may be convinced of a necessity of pardon of sin and peace with God, yet apprehends the making of his peace with God and obtaining pardon of sin in an earthly manner. He has carnal thoughts and apprehensions about his place with God and obtaining pardon of sin. He thinks it's the same way that one man obtains peace with another when there has been a falling out and of getting pardon from another man that he's offended. He conceives it in an earthly way. He looks upon his making peace with God by something that he must perform. But the free justification by the grace of God in Christ, it's too divine, spiritual, and heavenly for an earthly-minded man to apprehend. An earthly-minded man's apprehensions of God are only in a carnal, earthly way. And so he might think of God, but not really appreciate God as God. He almost thinks of God as maybe being like a better version of himself. And the result of that is it's really hard for him to appreciate doctrines like justification or the incarnation or anything like that. And hopefully we have been brought to a better understanding of who God is, but it is a challenge, I think of God as God. And sometimes I wonder if God's not missing in a lot of our religious activity. Do we really slow down and understand the greatness of God? We can't understand. God is incomprehensible. We can understand some, but even what we understand, God's beyond our understanding. And yet, do we understand that? do we understand that? He says, as the prophet speaks in Isaiah 1:3, the ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's crib. In the same way, an earthly-minded man knows God like an ox knows his owner and the donkey his master. The ox knows his owner since he brings him fodder daily. So an earthly-minded man has no other apprehensions of God but that God gives him good things in this world. God makes his corn to grow or prospers his voyage. An earthly-minded man may rise so high as to have apprehensions of God as bringing good things unto him here on earth, but one that is spiritual and heavenly apprehends God as God. He does not look upon God merely as good in respect to the benefit he receives from God here, but he looks upon God as he is in himself. He sees the face of God. There's a great deal of difference between a man that knows another man and a beast that knows a man. So one of the first things a person needs to believe or understand or come to grips with, at least at some level, if he's going to be a Christian, is that God is God. And so many of our problems come from not really knowing and believing and appreciating the godness of God. We think of God sort of the way maybe an animal thinks of a man. The ox, he says, knows his owner. The ox knows the man that brings hay or provisions to him. But a man knows a man in another way. He knows what the nature of a man is, what it is to be a rational creature. So the one who's spiritual knows what God is in himself. He sees the face of God and understands what God is in another way than others do. Now, we get what he's saying, I think. This is part of the glory of being a Christian. We were dead spiritually, blind. So we really knew God but didn't know God. Every unbeliever knows there is a God, but he doesn't know God as God. We're saved. We come to know God in a different way. He says it so strong here. We see the face of God. We understand God in another way than others do. We know what God is in himself. And yet, of course, we don't fully. And God is, that's part of what we know about God, that God is totally, he's totally other. He has stooped down to reveal himself to us. We can know him truly, but we don't know him fully. But even just that, actually, the way we know that and understand that is grace from God. And should excite our hearts to know and love him more. But he says, the difference between the knowledge of God that a spiritual soul has, one who's pure in heart, and the knowledge of God that an earthly heart has is just as different than the animals and the man's. As the ox knows the man that drives him to fat pastures, so an earthly man knows God gives him good things. But a spiritual man knows God as one man knows another, not in the full excellency. Okay, there he says it. But there's such a difference in some degree between the apprehensions of God in a spiritual heart and the apprehensions of God in an earthly heart, which, again, is just, that's like the greatest privilege in the world, that you can know God. I wonder if that strikes you, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how great it's going or bad it's going, if you're a Christian, you can know God, and you can think true thoughts about God, great thoughts about God. This is like life, isn't it? Eternal life is to know God, and we can begin to experience some of that life here and now, and the spiritual man knows that and enjoys that and seeks more and more of that. He says, we might mention many other spiritual and divine truths that an earthly-minded man apprehends only in an earthly way. So he only knows God in an earthly way, but there's other truths. For example, consider heaven itself. How does an earthly-minded man apprehend that? He apprehends that he shall be delivered from pain and shall have some kind of glory, but he knows not what it is. He conceives it according to the way of the earth, some pompous, glorious thing, that he shall live in pleasures and not in pain, and so apprehends all the glory of heaven but in sensuality. So this is John Piper's big question. If you could have heaven and, you know, everything you ever wanted, all the riches you can imagine, on and on and on and on, but no God, no Christ, would that be heaven to you? And he's like, the heavenly-minded man's like, no. All that stuff without God is not heaven. But the earthly-minded man kind of thinks it is. A spiritual heart looks at heaven in another way. He looks upon the enjoyment of communion with God and Jesus Christ in heaven and living the life of God in heaven. So I want to be careful here. Like, a spiritual heart certainly looks forward to the physicality of our eternal future. There's life after life after death, actually. God's long-term plan is not just for souls to be floating around in heaven, but for us to have bodies, and he calls it a new heavens and a new earth. So there's something like this earth and this heavens that we're going to experience forever, but it's new, all the sin sucked out. God made us soul and body. So we honor him and glorify him by enjoying to the maximum with gratitude the things that he has given us and not making gods out of them, but enjoying them truly and properly. And so that is certainly something that we look forward to in heaven. But again, in the right way, those things are not God to us. God is God to us. And as Christians and people who are seeking to be spiritually minded, we know that all of those things only have meaning and really are satisfying so long as our love for God makes our love for those things look almost like hate, makes our love for those things look so small. But the earthly heart has no skill in that. Neither does such a heart so much as to want to enjoy God in heaven, really. Well, he says, thus I have in these several particulars revealed what is an earthly minded man. Oh, that you would lay your hands upon your hearts and consider how far these things reach you. But besides these, I have other arguments to convince the consciences of men and women that there's still much earthliness in them, but we shall treat them in order later. So he's like, ah, I hope I've gotten a little conviction, because change takes place with, you have to see your sin in order to repent of your sin. But of course, it's not enough just to see your sin. You have to see your sin, not simply as like, hey, I'm not as good as I wish I was. I'm so much worse than I think I should be, in some sort of like proud way. I should be such a better person. I should be such a better person. No, not like that. We should see this sin as ultimately really sin against God, something that is grievesome when we've been made in the image of God and called to live for something better, as something that actually is burdensome because it is taking us away from true joy and satisfaction, something that should be confessed and hated. But we don't stop there with confessing it and hating it. We know that Jesus has granted us forgiveness for our earthly mindedness, and he's given us the Spirit that we should live for something so much better. But Burroughs isn't done with the conviction yet. He has actually given us some things to think about in terms of whether or not we're earthly minded. And then next, what he wants to do is talk about why is this such an evil. So there he's going to dive in to like, hey, you see it, you maybe feel a little bad about it, but I want to show you what is the problem with earthly mindedness. Because we might say, well, is this really such a big deal? We know there's a great deal of evil in, you know, committing adultery, getting drunk, all these scandalous sins. But these kinds of things that you've described, are they really so bad? It just isn't just kind of the way we have to be in this world. And he's going to say, yet you will find that the Scripture speaks most dreadful things against this. And if God is pleased to set them upon your hearts, I hope that much glory may come to God by it, and much good to you in particular. And that's what I'm praying for you as well. Every blessing. Keep pursuing Jesus. He is worth it. Whether you feel today like, hey, everything's going well, I just want to be spiritually minded, or whether you feel today like, oh, I'm just tired, and life is difficult. Your feelings, they could be here or there, but here's what's real. You have been saved by God. He is for you. He has united you to his Son, Jesus Christ. Your life is in heaven, and the Holy Spirit can enable you to obey Christ and enjoy Christ. And whether you feel it at this moment or not, that is what's real. And so pray to God that he will help you live in a way that is matching up with what is real. And so often, wait for it, your feelings will follow.